longer get the protection of being in three-year-old only races. So what they're trying to do is drop the horse down to a reasonable level that they'll move into anyway after the first of the year and win some money before they have to do that. So it's not a negative because they're going to run for that level or lower on January 1. So that's the one time that a lot of these positive drops and negative drops don't apply. So they'll do that. So now in January, the three-year-olds are moving in with the older horses. The ones that take significant drops, a three-year-old that's competitive for $32,000 three-year-olds in December ought to be running for about $20,000 against older horses in January. Now, that's an acceptable proposition. The three-year-olds and only that are running for $32,000 in December and now try $32,000 older horses in January are usually at a severe disadvantage because it's a major step upward, even though it looks like 32, and as you read it, most people at the racetrack will read it and say, 32, he ran second, he's in for 32 today, he's okay, he's class-wise, right? Except, if you know the structure and know the horses, you'll see that the horse was in for 32 three-year-olds, and now he's in against older, and probably gets his brains beat out. Now, it's also an excusable race if, for example, he drops next time, because he was outclassed, even though it showed 32s. So the only thing you have to remember is that three-year-olds and two-year-olds run at extremely inflated prices. And as the year goes along, they begin to drop those prices a little bit. And, they, you know, because these horses, what they're doing is they're seeking their level all year long. And finally, they'll find it. But early in the season, January and February, the three-year-olds that are brand new four-year-olds are usually at a disadvantage, unless they take a good class drop. Is that clear? Will you remember that next season? It's an important distinction. It really is. It's what separates a lot of the winners from the losers at the racetrack. Because the difference between being a very good player and being one that is a slight loser versus one that's a huge loser is only a few winners a week. It's like a batting average. You know, one or two hits a week makes a guy a major leaguer as opposed to a minor leaguer. It's not that big a difference. Part of it is knowledge base, and part of it is just maintaining some consistency. But anytime you think that some of the experts out there win all the time or win so many more races than you do, that's not the truth. They just win enough more to survive, that's all. Well, that's what we finally said. He belongs at 16 or 20. They claimed it for 16. There may not be a $20,000 race available right now, so it's a little bit of a negative, sure, because the horse was 4-1 at 32, so they obviously like the horse a little bit. So it's a little bit of a negative, yeah. And unfortunately, don't we have a little bit of a negative on everybody in this race? Huh? It's when you have a race like this, you look at it, a horse like Jungle Jacqueline or somebody like that, you look at it and say, I don't have any negatives on this one. You know, it's coming up in class off of a nice win. It's being double. My favorite play is a claiming horse that's taken by a really good trainer and is double jumped off of a very good race, a win, you know. Double jumped in class. Because people get off those horses, and yet those horses win far more than their share. And I could trace a good half of my profits to that kind of race all year long. But the horse that's double jumped, and I've said that in these sessions before, a horse that's double jumped by a good trainer, off of a winning race especially, or off of a claim, is one of the most reliable bets out there. And plus, they're always overlaid. I think I've said before, the trainer's not going to send you a telegram, but that's the closest thing to it that I'm going to win today. Yes.
3-year-olds in December. Why December?
Well, I'm saying that's the end of the 3-year-old season, and that's when on January 1 they become 4-year-olds. And all I'm saying is that on December 31st, a horse in a $32,000 race for 3-year-olds only, on January 1, is now a 4-year-old. Should not be in a $32,000 race. Because it's a much stronger race than he was in 2 days earlier, 1 day earlier. I beg your pardon? Yeah. Not a lot. Up north they write a lot. In comparison, down here they don't write too many, but they do write some races for 4-year-olds only. And that's a good point, because that's a good distinction. Because if you do a little work with your charts, find that a horse ran competitively against 4-year-olds and up, and now is in against 4-year-olds only at the same claiming price, the drop is significant. So you should spend a little time with the charts. Keep a notebook in the, you know, but you're right. The 4-year-old, when you find a race for 4-year-olds and only, 4-year-olds only in January or so, and you found a horse that's been competitive with 4-year-olds and up, or I'm sorry, with older horses, has a significant advantage. Do we claiming race we can look at. Oh, the fifth. Okay, that's good. I looked at this briefly this morning. This is a tough race. Let's take a look at the first horse on the sheet here, George's Hour. Look at its last two races after the layoff from December 10th to April 1st. Did the layoff do this horse any good? Now, what about the class drop? Well, no, it's not suspicious, but how much of a drop is that? Take a look at the part-time chart for a minute. The race it was in is a non-winner's a two. It's not a non-winner's a one. The only reason I know that is because I know these horses, so I mean, it doesn't say that here. It does on the Eastern charts. But it was a non-winner's a two, the Just Deeds TV screen race. But what kind of a drop is it making from a non-winner's a two to a $32,000 claiming race? Two levels, right? Do you think two levels is going to be enough to compensate for that last race? No, it won't be enough of a drop, will it? They ought to drop this one all the way to Caliente. Okay. Overridge. What about Overridge? Is Overridge competitive here? Yeah, just on the surface he is. He might not measure up when you compare him to other horses, but isn't he? He's competitive. He meets the contender guidelines that we talked about. He was up close at the stretch call. Kind of caved in the last eighth of a mile. But he's okay. I mean, he fits. He belongs here. Look at High Mesa. What do you think here? Well, too early, huh? This is 6 furlongs, so he wouldn't be too early. He's been routing, so he won't be too early. But look at his last 7 races or so. How would you like to bank your fortunes on him turning that sequence of races around on you? No. If he wins, he should pay $200. Okay, and that's a negative two. That's the lowest level I can run ahead, too, so that's a good point. What about Sissy's Heller? Well, lame after the finish. Now, let's deal with that for just a moment. He's been given a year off since then. So that's not the reason to disqualify this horse. That's an 89 race, right? Okay. There are other reasons. I mean, he's a year off. You're right, lame after the finish, so it took a year to heal this horse. Does he belong in a sprint with $32,000 horses at 6 furlongs? What do you think? What do you mean, why not? What do you think he's in here for? Sure, for sale, yeah. No, I think if he were for sale, you'd see him in here for 20, probably. I mean, they're probably not afraid of losing him. He's got that. The point was made that he was lame last time. He's off a year. I don't think anybody will risk, not unless somebody's been so close to that stable that they've seen this horse and heard good words about it. But he's in here for a prep, isn't he? Pardon? Sure. He could have had a serious injury, and now they're going to have to bring him back and find out what they've got. And today they'll find out a little bit about that. Okay, now if he were really sharp, and you knew he was really sharp, and there were not any really sharp sprinters in this race, he's got enough speed that you might think he'd have a chance in a sprint. Play me one more time. Is this a contender here? Okay, what about the drop? It is one level. He's dropping from 40 to 32, and in his case, he really didn't threaten his last race, did he? Okay, that's really no problem here, because he's dropping $5,000 at... And at that level, that's not a whole lot of money. So actually where he probably wants to be, don't you think? Back to Overridge for just a minute. Let's choose the pace line on him. Can that be the first race? I mean, yeah. First race on the chart, you're right. What about Play Me One More Time? No reason really to go beyond that unless you just think the $40,000 horses are much better than the 32s, and they're not. A little bit better. but it's not enough to disqualify that line. Now use it. Plus, he ran very well that day. Gentleman's style. Yes? I'm sorry, what? Who was it? Oh, I'm sorry, I thought we were back on... I thought somebody asked something about playing me one more time. All right, gentleman's style. Was he up close at any call? No. Was he... Did, that's right. Did he win his last round? He was beaten off by 5 at 35... At 25 without ever being close at any call. Now he's up at 32, right? That's a negative probability. Now, the horse that is that he's tried to beat twice in a row is in here next to him, and that's High Hook. Now, this horse should step up, shouldn't he? As long as they're winning and stepping up, they're cause for concern. We're going to get to that. You're absolutely right. Now, at Santa Anita, you could win from well off the pace. Now, two races back, this horse ran an incredible race. I mean, he just would have run over cut glass to win. He was just going to win. He looped the field. He just came running. His last race, he regressed a number of lengths. That last race was not that high a rating. But nevertheless, he's a contender, except haven't we already decided that we won't take anybody from anywhere near that running style in these sprints? Okay. For now, then, I would eliminate him. What will happen in a few minutes, maybe, is that when we're finished with everybody else, we may come back to just Overridge. And then when we evaluate Overridge, we might decide somebody's going to win this race from off the pace. And then we got to look at High Hook again. But he'd be about the last closer you would want in this race. Any problems? Santa Anita and Hollywood are two different racetracks. Winchester Drive. This guarantees a little pace pressure for the other horse. Winchester Drive. What do you think? Leave him in. Now, I would leave him in for one reason. That's to match him up against Overridge and whoever else we might find with a lot of speed. Where I wouldn't leave him in is in terms of betting. Look at what's up. Excuse me. Look at what's happened to this horse. This horse was running in allowance races, had never been in a claiming race, right? Then it's given from July 29th to February 28th. This is not minor. There's something wrong with the horse. On February 28th, in a claiming race for the first time against good horses, runs to the half and then bails out of the race and gets beat 13 lengths, right? That's at 62.5. Now, off of that race, the horse drops to 40. And you would expect significant improvement on that drop. The horse runs to the half again and bails out even faster than it did the time before because it's on slower, no, same fractions, basically. But the horse bails out even sooner, right? Now it drops to 28 in the $32,000 field. What kind of a line do you expect? Do you expect him to turn around this series of drops and declines? No, you don't. They just don't do that very often. Burnt twice. Not even once. You don't want to get burnt here. All right. What's significant about this horse... So he comes. First of all, he's dreadfully beaten. He's beaten by 20 lengths last time out. Was out of the race by 14 at the stretch call. You can't even make the argument that he was up close early on, because he's against 21.4. He's fairly competitive, right? He's a half length behind. In fact, he is competitive. Then they run around the turn in 23 seconds, and this horse has already walked into his wall. He's run. It takes him almost 24 seconds to get around the turn here. A fresh horse. And then he gets beat 20 lengths. Don't ask him to turn it around, that's all. Now, what about Right Rudder? It's a definite contender, isn't it? Okay, fits the bias of the track very well. His last race, he had some problems. He was disqualified. It was the second race after a layoff. And sometimes they regress a little, and actually in his case he improved in that second race. Where does he belong class-wise? Go back down to November 9th. Where does he belong? 32, doesn't he? Okay, where's he at today? Okay, so that eliminates the negative drop part of this. I mean, the fact that he was very competitive at 40 drops to 32, that's where he belonged. Nobody's taking any kind of a loss on this horse. No one's claimed him. No one's put out any money for it. This is where he belongs, and they're realistic enough. Which race do you want to use? I'd use the last one, too. The temptation is to reach down and take the November 9th race, and that's by far the best races in his entire chart. You don't want to do that. Because whatever, I mean, they had to lay him up for a while in there. For 5 months they had to lay him, or for 4 months. And now, so what you see is what you get. Look at his lifetime record. I know some very good friends that really went overboard on this horse last time. It's one of the reasons he was 3-1. Look at his lifetime record. In 35 starts, he's won 4 times. He's been 2nd 10, and 3rd 6. That's a horse that just flat doesn't quite get the job done. But he's definitely a contender. I mean, at 32, it's clear he's a contender in the race. If you can make him win it with your figures, you're fine. Royal Eagle. Let's start, first of all, the first question is, can a horse win at 32? And the answer is yes. Well, there's no question about that. Two races back, he wins by 5 for 50, right? Then he's off for how many days? 38 days, 40 days? And what's the performance next time out for the horse? Okay. He lugged out badly and was through at a half mile without ever really moving up to challenge the horses. He's on a negative pattern. On March 11th, it looked like he could beat anybody. All right. So what about Superb Moment? Okay. His last race, incidentally, was very good. On Easy Street freaked out that day. I mean, I never thought that horse was that talented. He just freaked out. This is a horse, though, that lost his last race at 25 and has stepped up. And it's an older horse being stepped off of a losing race. If his figures match up, if he turns out to be the high figure horse in a race, you can overlook that a little bit. If he turns out to be just one of the figures in a race, consider that to be a negative. And if you look at him, his last win was on the drop. And most of the time when they've stepped him up, he didn't knock anybody's socks off. Superb Moment. He's a contender in here, though, that's for sure. And the pace line selection is? There's no reason not to take the last race, especially since it was a Hollywood. Now, who did we throw out because of the negative class drops in here? Royal Eagle. Well, no, Burnt Twice, is he making a negative drop or not? Well, he is dropping, but I think we eliminated him just because of his last race performance, because the drop isn't negative. He belongs much lower. Royal Eagle is the one we got rid of because of the negative class drop, right? Winchester Drive we eliminated just because of he'd been dropped 2 levels and ran worse than he did at the higher level. So what does that leave for this particular race to separate? It leaves Right Rudder, doesn't it? It leaves Superb Moment. It leaves, in the pace analysis, you have to consider Winchester Drive a little bit, just because you've got to use it in analyzing the pace of the race. We left High Hook in, didn't we, but decided that with its running style, of all of the contenders, it would be by far the least probable. And if it came down to him, I'd pass. If it finally came to him, I'd pass the race. Play Me One More Time this is a good drop. This is a good drop. It's got a good style. And it's not stuck 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's not stuck down on a rail. So Play Me One More Time is really a live horse in here. And Overridge, who is now in the 2 post, which is almost as bad as the 1, which is horrible. And there is other speed in here. So Overridge has got his hands full. That's the process I would go through in this particular race if I did. This is what I go through for these races. And some of the decisions you have to, like I said, you have to bite your knuckles sometime until you make them successfully over a period of time. Then when you do that, it builds up kind of a nice confidence factor so that you look at it, see a 4-5 shot that you really don't like for these reasons, and not just because, again, and you have the bet against them. Now I want to do an exercise. I need it, don't I? I played golf the other day. Okay. Take now, this is a fairly, the third race yesterday. Now, we already know the winner of the race because we said Cannon Man was the first horse to go wire to wire. What we said in here yesterday is that we kept Cannon Man as a contender in here. Somebody said, what if he's the lone front runner? Let me address this. What if he's the lone front runner in a race? Well, so far, it hasn't mattered if it's the lone front runner in a race. They have not gotten all the way around the track. But we didn't put any figures on the race, and finally we agreed that this is a contender based on the little data that we have. Without any figures to support it, Cannon Man is not the optimal bet. Tom says, after running it through the program, and I told you that's a great way to separate these because you have probably the strongest way of doing that that I've ever seen. Once you run it through the program, you realize Cannon Man is not only the fastest horse, he's also about the best finisher in the race. And that kind of changes the complexion of that race a little bit. But based on the data, no one has gone wire to wire, and there's been at least three or four of those races where it looked like there was a lone front runner. But the lone front runner didn't have the sustained ability to go all the way. Just attend to the basic contender selection process. Let's start with Burgundy Bonus. Is Burgundy Bonus a candidate to win here? All right. Was the horse up close at the stretch call last time? Okay. How long has the horse been off? 38 days, does it have a reasonably attractive workout line? It does, doesn't it? Remembering that, even with the workout line, it's still a negative that the horse has been off 30 days. Don't ever forget that. Okay, but it's acceptable because of the workout line. Does he have five? Five's adequate. Six is preferable. Five's adequate. That's one of the reasons I referred you to Scott, because he makes a very good case in his book for the 5-furlong workout at a major racetrack especially. That's adequate. I mean, it shows you can still get 5 furlongs. I mean, none of these horses are exactly fit, although I'll take that back on one horse. Thresh It Out. Okay, let's talk about him for a minute. Can he win at the level? Probably, huh? Okay. If you go all the way back to the bottom coupling lines, you can see he's got some back class associated with him, doesn't he? Okay, so the basic answer to that is probably yes, he can win it at 16. What about, that's all right. His last race? I'm sorry, somebody said what? Yes, he is. Oh, wait a minute. Now, that is wrong. I better correct you on that. No, I just don't want you to go away with that, with a misconception here. There are two ways to look at this. The fact is, so far he hasn't proven himself to be a $20,000 or a $16,000 horse right now, has he? And you're right about that. You're right. But the point is, he is dropping in class today because the level of competition is one level lower. That's the distinction you got to make. Okay? Because I agree with you. He's not proven to be, not anymore, to be a $20,000 horse. So as far as he's concerned, he wasn't 20 anyway. But he is dropping to lower competition this time. And I'm glad you brought that up, and that's why I seized on it, because that point is a common misconception, and it's really not a misconception if you're valuing the horse itself. But in terms of the level of competition, he is dropping. Okay, he's dropping. Is he a contender based on the guidelines I gave you? What about Bill of Ice? Oh, he's a look-alike, isn't he? He's dropping in class. He's dropping the level. Yes. Sure. Thresh It Out. Right. He was up close at the stretch call. That's even better. Okay. That's fine. I mean, that's the reason we're going through the exercise so that we're going to apply it correctly. Claudia. How close was it? It was also close up at the second cone. Okay, it fits those guidelines. I said they're fairly lax. Okay, you're not going to throw many out, but you are going to throw enough out to make it worthwhile going this way. Now, let me tell you something else. If you're using APV and the class numbers, and you have your contender like 90% of the time, continue to do that. This will tighten, I mean, that's fine. This will tighten it up a little bit. Because one thing you'll find out is that if you're just using past class and things like that, you will also have a few horses in there as contenders that are no longer capable of contending, that's all. So this addresses it from a current form standpoint, the other addresses it from a back class standpoint. But if that's working for you, don't make any changes. But recognize the importance of current form on the horse. Yes? What do you think? Anybody have a anybody call it negative? You call it negative. Okay. Look at Thresh It Out, first of all. At 12.5, the horse almost won, didn't it? Then off of that, he was claimed, and this guy jumped it to 20. That ran fairly well at 20. It ran fifth at 20, didn't it? Okay. Staying at 20, it ran fourth at 20. In neither case did the horse even come close to threatening to win, right? Did it? On that basis, what do you do with the horse? You drop it. No sense batting the horse's head against the wall. They're not very bright anyway. They'll just continue to do it. Right? No sense in doing it. Drop the horse where it can win. That's a sensible thing to do. This is a positive drop on both horses. On Benavides, it's a little less positive, and the reason for that is that they claim the horse for 20 a few races back, and now they're willing to lose it at 16, but it's not a major drop. It has to make the drop because it can't contend at the higher level. So it's a little bit of a negative, but there's a positive on the other side. So it's an okay one, yeah. It's an okay one. Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, but what's going to happen here is that he meets the guidelines. When we start separating these contenders, we're going to separate him all the way out for a couple other reasons also. Okay. Let's, can Buckland's Halo win here? Why not? Okay, it meets the contender guidelines. Okay. It's a declining horse. You can all see that. Okay. But the point is that it meets the contender guidelines. The last race, we're going to see that anytime you have a horse that you think might be declining, don't go beyond the last race then, because then you get one of the races prior to the decline. Okay. He did. He might. Okay. But you have, as a handicapper, you're the one who has to make that. I would have said the same thing. But as far as applying these guidelines as for contenders, we're going to say that he's a contender based on that last race, and he is. Can't throw him out. I mean, he could win. You could be entirely wrong, and he might run very well here today. You're probably right, and you were. So. Now, Keep Me in Stitches. Is this a contender here? What about the drop? Yeah, the drop ought to be to Caliente again, like we said about that other one. Go back to Buckland's Halo for a moment. Look at Buckland's Halo on February 17th. The horse runs fourth and is claimed for $25,000. Right. In its next start, after more than a month, the horse is in for 20, right? Is that a positive or a negative? It wins. Off the win, it's dropped to 16. Positive or negative? All right. The only Keep Me in Stitches is it's a positive drop. Unfortunately, it doesn't do anybody any good, does it? Cannon Man. Okay. Right. That's the one negative on the horse. The one negative on the horse. I mean, the horse won. I've got to tell you something. If I were Mr. or Mrs., preferably Mr. Fellows, owning this horse, last night I'd have been out with a gun trying to find Warren Studi. Because this horse won by 3.5. That is most always a negative pattern when they don't step the horse up off of a win that decisively. And sure enough, the horse wins by 9, and they lost the horse. They deserved to lose it. They didn't deserve to lose it, but certainly Studi deserved to lose it. $10. Don't know. All right. Now, let me tell you something else. But just based on the running line of the horse, if you don't have the figures to go with that, That horse was attempting to win something that no horse has done in 9 days at this meeting, and that's be in front at the first call and still make it to the wire. This horse also happened to have the right sustain numbers, too. So, I mean, that was a win-win situation. Anyway, I bet you these people weren't very happy when this horse wins by 9 last night. Okay. The way you factor in a negative that isn't an absolute negative is what you're saying. I mean, like a horse that's been away for 30, you decide to embrace it. You factor that in by saying, I won't take 9 to 5 on the horse. Okay, because there is a negative associated with it. Will you take 4 to 1 on the horse? Now that you've got an attractive betting proposition, you got $10, the only thing you have to do is overcome why they left the horse there, right?